verse number 7. The Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became," and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. I hear wheezing. Oh, it's Timmy. He's knocked out. I thought it was the speaker. He's knocked. He got Rossi with us in spirit. And he fell asleep as soon as I said, "Turn in your Bibles." He put his head down. He's wheezing instantly. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we just read. I'm going to pray. Hopefully the Lord will do something here. Oh, man, my wife just texted me and said, and I figured this would be true. She said, "There's nobody at the hospital in the emergency room." I said, "People who are half dead won't come in. It's Super Bowl Sunday. They're going to come in after the game." So she's got him registered, and hopefully he'll get right in. And he's so sweet. When, as soon as he came, he goes, "Dad, number one, I don't want to get stitches. And number two, I don't want to miss church." Didn't even mention the Super Bowl. Just didn't want to miss church. And so that's a blessing. And I said, "No, you're probably going to miss church." And he goes, "Well, then will I miss the Super Bowl too?" I said, "No, you'll be fine." Anyway, let's pray. Father and Lord, just thank you for church, Lord. Thank you for those that are back here tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is, Father, just these last several weeks, Lord, just the spirit in the church, Lord, is so exciting and revitalizing and seeing new families out and folks returning and people making decisions, Lord, just to get closer to you and to honor you. Father, I pray, Lord, as we continue this series on faith, that, Father, our faith would be challenged, that, Lord, our faith would be strengthened, that, Lord, you'd help us, Father, to strengthen our faith in you, trust you, and depend on you for everything that we need. First, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We started last week talking about the protection of faith. And just by way of review, I'll give a couple things. We're called to live by faith for several reasons. Faith allows us to please the Lord. Faith allows us to see God provide. Faith allows us the opportunity to testify of God's goodness. And faith brings God glory and pleasure through our lives. And living by faith and living through faith provides those of us that are saved, that want faith, that provides us with two forms of protection. Last week we looked at the first one, and that was God's word warns us of unseen danger. God's word warns us of unseen danger. Again, last week I talked about how before the flood it did not rain on the earth. And Noah trusted God at his word, and God protected Noah and his family. And there's hidden dangers that God, and through the word of God, that we've been warned about. We gave these last week. The first one was to be warned of the tempter. The devil is real, and he wants to destroy us. And we talked about that last week. We talked about be warned of the temptation. You know, we saw that in James chapter 1. And how we know in order to deal with temptation, we've got to learn to deal with our own lusts. The more we live and yield to the Holy Spirit and trust God, will our desires, if you will, and it's just another word for a lust, but our desires will be placed in God's way and not our flesh's way, and that'll help us to avoid temptation, even though it's common to all of us. We said, be warned of the consequences. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Every act that we do is like planting a seed, and we do not have control over what happens. When that seed is sown into the field of our lives, it's going to reap consequences. And we sow good seed, we see blessings, we sow bad seed and bad action, and we reap judgment and heartache and trials and suffering. And so, and look, a lot of what goes on in our lives is not God judging us. This is very important. A lot of what goes on in our lives is our sinful choices judging us. You've put into act, if you will, you put into movement by your choices a set of circumstances that you cannot control. And so make wise choices. Look, the Bible tells us God's not a respecter of persons. So God's not picking on you when things are going wrongly. A lot of times it's our sinful choices that we've made that we put into action, and then things happen as a result of our choices, and then we, oh, God's mad at me. No, God's not mad at you. Your sin is judging you. God's not judging you. Your sin is. And so we need to think about this seed that we sow. It's just, you know, people use the word karma and all that kind of stuff. No, it's very simple. You reap what you sow. Sow goodness, you'll reap goodness. Sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. Do the opposite. And look, it's the same reason why marriages struggle. You sow contention and you sow frustration and you sow bitter and angry words, and you're going to reap those. And it's just going to make things worse. And so somebody's got to stop the insanity in relationships that say, you know what? Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Somebody's got to be the mature Christian one and speak the right way and yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And then we talk about be warned of the condemnation. And that just means that a sentence that's passed. And, you know, we, those of us that are saved, were warned of the condemnation by not accepting Christ. That condemnation is hell. But now that we're saved, we're not under condemnation anymore. We cannot go to hell. And so we were warned of that. We listened to the word of God. We responded to the word of God, and our faith increased. Our faith now protects us from hell. So we don't have to go there now that we're saved. So God's word warns us. That's one form of protection. It warns us of unseen dangers. Think about the choices and the decisions that you have made or will make, or hopefully not will make them, but before you were saved, when you didn't know God's word. You ever pay attention to just religion in general and the silliness that people are a part of that don't know the word of God? I mean, if you ever just did some YouTube searching and was looking up charismatic churches, or talk, you know, put in the box there, slain in the spirit, or talking in tongues, it is quality entertainment. It is some of the funniest stuff you will ever see. Ever hear the Laughing Revival up in Toronto? I mean, hilarious stuff that people think that's of God, the Holy Spirit. Everybody's on the floor laughing hysterically, and they think that's revival. I'm telling you, people are caught up in that stuff. I used to watch this guy from Britain or England or whatever, and he was talking about the fire. We need the fire, and he was a heavyset guy. The fire. We need the fire. And, you know, they touch people on the head, and they fall on the ground. I mean, just crazy stuff. People talked about how they saw in their service, they saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove flying through their sanctuary, dropping blessings. And I thought, those were blessings that he was dropping. But the nonsense that, you know, people bowing to statues. People thinking if you rub beads that God hears you. Repeating the same prayer as many times as you can. Say 8 Hail Marys. Say 25 Hail Marys. And people actually believe that stuff. And they have they're not aware of the dangers. That's what's sad about religion. They don't even realize the things that they're sincerely doing are sincerely wrong. And it's not going to help them one bit. The most religious person is going to split hell wide open just as much as the most pagan person in the world. Not because of their actions or lack of action, but because they're not trusting Jesus Christ. Right. And God's word, that's how our faith grows. We see the word of God, it strengthens us, it warns us of unseen dangers. Thank God for a faith that protects us. I bet Noah was thanking God when that rain started coming down, that God warned him. My spirit's not going to always strive with man, Genesis 6 teaches. I'm wiping them all out, Noah. Build the ark. It's going to rain. Here's what's going to happen. The amazing thing is, you know, about what Noah did. His faith stayed strong, and nobody listened to him for 120 years. That's what, I mean, outside of his family, he had zero converts. Talk about somebody in our modern day church society that we would write off as a failure. Where's all your converts? Imagine preaching to the same church every week and it's just you and your 8 family members. And nobody else showed up and you did it for 120 years. That's what Noah did. But he didn't just have church, he was building a massive ark in the back. That took some faith, but he trusted God. So people want to mock you and make fun of you and belittle you because you're following the Lord. Barack Obama mocking those that cling to their Bibles. I can't think of any better anchor to cling to.
Amen.
Than the Word of God. Sure beats clinging to his lies. God's Word warns us of unseen dangers. Secondly, God's Word protects us with useful direction. God's Word protects us with useful direction. In Noah's day, God's Word came to him personally. The Bible says that God not only warned Noah about the flood, but also gave him specific instructions and directions on how to avoid it. This was not something that Noah came up with on his own. Noah didn't have a dream about it. The knowledge came to Noah by direct revelation from God. And it was needed direction during a very needy time. Now again, that's how God spoke then. That is not how God speaks today. Right here is how God speaks today. Revelation, they didn't have the Word of God written like we do in the Old Testament. God spoke to them. God said, hey, Noah. And Noah went, yes, God. God told them what to do. Now, that'd be awesome if he did that today. But the truth is, he does do it today. He does it right here.
Right.
I mean, it's all, you want to know exactly what God wants for every area of your life to build your faith and to direct you and to protect you and the purpose of your life. It's right here. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth.
Amen.
Just do what the Bible says. We try to come up with all these crazy ways. Just do what God's Word says. Again, God gave Noah specific directions on what to do. And I'm thankful today for the Word of God. The Word of God is the basis of what we believe today. I believe the Bible is the perfect revelation of God that assists us through life with detailed directions. I don't follow the church constitution, I follow the Bible. I don't follow a preacher, I follow the Bible. I don't follow the trendy opinion of today, I follow the Bible. And look, what we do and how we do things today, one day a long time ago, most churches did it this way. Nowadays, very rare. I went to court with NASA about a month ago, it was Katie. When I was going out with to help out Raymer, and I had to meet with their attorney. And so they called, they wanted some information on me, and she said, do you have, I called on the phone, and she said, do you have a, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, I think it's called a CI, CA. What's it called, Benny, like a professional resume? It was a C something. It was two initials. CV? Maybe that's what it was. Anyway, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. She says, well, it's like what ministers have. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, it's like a resume. I said, well, why don't you just say resume? She said, well, that's like the official term. I said, the ministry, I'm not applying for a job, so no, I don't have a resume. I said, but I can put something together for you. She said, well, we just want, you know, the judge will want to know that your church is legit. I said, bring them out on Sunday. She didn't find it as funny as you did. She said, we just want to make sure that you're legit. I said, well, what do you want? She says, well, what about like a copy of your ordination certificate? I said, I lost that a week after I got ordained. I haven't seen that thing since 2004 when I got ordained. Or 2003, I don't remember when I got ordained. I gotta look at the little clock that you guys bought me that's engraved with my ordination on it. I look at that when I try to remember when I got ordained. And I said, I don't have that. She said, well, do you have like a board? I said, I got some 2x4s. Plywood, particle board, sheetrock. I said, no, ma'am, we're not a board-run church. She says, well, do you have like a parish or like a synod that you guys answer to. I said, man, we answer to God.
Right.
There's no synod. We are an independent Baptist church. She says, are there other churches like that? I said, yeah, there's about 14,000 of them in this country. And then she has, I mean, we were getting nowhere. Every question she asked, I said, I don't have that. I said, I can give you some gospel tracts. You can go online, look at my church website. She says, well, do you have like trustees? I said, I got trustees. She said, well, can you give me a church letter on church letterhead, signed by them? I said, sure. So I went, typed out a letter, forged Glenn's signature, forged John's signature, and sent it on out. What's that, Brother Chet? While he was dead, he yet speaking. But it was so funny. Because, you know, the world, they just don't have any idea anymore of why the Bible is so important to us. And honestly, I want the world saved, but I really could care less about their opinion of my faith.
Yeah.
It's less than important to me. I could care less. I don't care what they think about my church. I don't care what they think about my Bible, the way I do things. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to stand strong on it.
Amen.
You know, their opinions about changing things. Look, churches today are so geared about what society thinks. And that is the most damaging thing a church could ever respond to. We do what God says, not what society wants. Actually, preacher was telling me, not Baptist preacher, was telling me, it was a Nazarene pastor, I won't tell you what his name was telling me that their church's theme, their philosophy was, and he actually had it written on stationery and stuff, where people matter most. And I told him, I said, what a horrible, horrible thing to base your church on. He said, well, it's all about people. I said, no, it's all about God.
Yeah.
I said, the church isn't for lost people. It's for saved people. It's a called out assembly, a body of believers. It's churches for saved people. Now, we want unsaved people to come and we want them to get saved and welcome them. But we're not changing anything to appease the unsaved crowd. And the world has a hard time with that. And, you know, my direction is not based on what's popular. My direction is based on where God is leading me. I'm based on what the Word of God says. Everything you need to spiritually survive through life is found in the Bible. Everything. I mean, you don't need to open up another Cosmopolitan magazine to get help. You need to watch Dr. Phil one more time. And you never need to watch Oprah. Everything we need. If we'll follow its direction. If you read it and don't apply it, it's pointless. We follow it. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know the verse well. The last two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then he tells us why in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So again, when we're talking about the Word of God directing us and leading us, and that's the way that it protects us, is because it gives us direction that we need. You know, it would not be fun driving if there were no laws and no signals and no directions of where you're going. And, you know, Brother Glenn and I had to teach Diane yesterday what direction the northeast was. We had to help her. She thought Laura was living in the soon-to-be hockey rink. We're helping her. Thank God for directions. And the Word of God, which is where our faith is built on, points us in this passage to four what I call essential directions. Number one, God's Word tells us what is right. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, look at this, and is profitable for doctrine. The Word of God, it's profitable for doctrine. It tells us what is right. Can I tell you what one of the dumbest things people talk about, or the phrase that they use today? Just follow your heart. What an absolute horrendous thing. You know, teenagers say, just follow your heart. Like that's some sweet, lovey-dovey, sensitive thing. That is flat out unbiblical. Let me give you a verse. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So to say, follow your heart, you're telling me, you're advising me, you're counseling me to follow something that is desperately wicked and will lie to me. Thank you for your wise counsel. No. Mankind is inherently sinful. We are not born with the capacity to always choose right for ourselves. In fact, if we are left to ourselves, the Bible tells us that every man chooses a different right. That's creating confusion and devastation. The whole theme of the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Everybody was a determiner of what right is. It's exactly where our society is today. There's no right or wrong, it's what's right for you. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. When you or I decide we're going to do what we think is best for us, void of the word of God or biblical counsel, God calls us fools. I never understand a Christian making decisions when they don't have A, the word of God to support them, or B, a wise counselor that is giving them biblical counsel to make those choices. That's our responsibility. I want my faith to be strengthened, and I want my faith to protect me. I want it to direct me. Well, how's it going to direct me? Well, it tells me that it is profitable for doctrine. I'm going to know what's right based on the word of God. I'm not worrying about what's right based on what society says, what laws they pass. I heard just today on the radio that Barack Obama is now pushing for the Boy Scouts to allow homosexuals and lesbians into them. That's not right. That's wrong. That's sin. Thankfully, God has given us His Word as a standard of righteousness for our lives. This is my determiner of what is right and what is wrong. The church is not the determiner. The pastor is not the determiner. Parents, you are not the determiner. I told them, the folks that are in my Sunday school class this morning, we got to get out of the habit of telling our children because dad said so, because mom said so. And we need to start teaching them because God said so. Because they're going to grow up, become a parent, and they're going to think they're the final authority. Mom and dad are the final authority. God's the final authority. When I discipline my children, we talk about what God's word says about it. That's a biblical way of doing things. And the same thing as a pastor. If I feel that someone in the church is doing something wrongly, I will approach you and I will say, we don't do that. This is what the Bible says. This is how we do it. This is our setup. This is our structure. This is the way we want things accomplished. Let all things be done decently and in order. There's methods to our madness around here. Sometimes it's just madness, but at least we try to have a method to it. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when people say, what is truth? The word of God. And it's absolute truth. If it's relative, it's not truth. The word of God is our final authority. Thy word is truth. Not only does God's word tell us what is right, but secondly, God's word tells us what is wrong. Same passage, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And then it says, for reproof. God's word is profitable for reproof. God's word not only tells us what's right, but God's word also tells us what's wrong and when we're wrong. And nobody likes to be told when they're wrong. I think of Manny and Jonathan's mother, Carmen, who I was able to lead to the Lord many years ago and baptized her when we were over in the Nazarene church. And she passed away. It's been several years since she passed away. I remember doing a funeral there. But I'll never forget Carmen. If there's one thing that stands out in my mind of Carmen, she used to always say, the truth is the truth, and nobody likes to hear the truth. She used to always say that to me. She goes, what you say is the truth, and nobody likes to hear the truth. She says, but it's the truth. She wasn't arguing with me, she was agreeing with me, but she hated it because it was truth. And a lot of us have a hard time hearing what is truth. It doesn't make us comfortable to know we are wrong. We are making poor choices. We are making bad decisions. And we need to understand that it's the Word of God that gives us the authority to understand what is wrong for reproof. Read a story about a preacher was in Japan on a speaking tour. It was about 20 or so years ago, and he was there with a close personal friend who was several years older than he was. As they were walking down the street in Yokohama, Japan, the name of a common friend came up. And the preacher said something unkind about that person. It was cynical, it was a put down. And the older friend stopped, turned, and got right in that preacher's face. And with very deep, slow words, he said, a man who says he loves God would not say a thing like that about a friend. Now, the truth is, he could have put a knife in the man's ribs and the pain wouldn't have been any less. The point got across. He did what a man of God does. He speaks the truth. But you know something? They remind us of the truth. People who are in our lives that confront us, that reprove us, they remind us of the truth and where we're falling short. Many times, you'll be sitting in church and you'll hear a message and you think, you swallow deep and go, he's talking about me right now. I hear that all the time and I always go, yeah, I was. You're in here. Not talking to the neighbor, he ain't in here. But I'm talking to all of you. A lot of times we hear a message, man, that's, wow. That hurt, and you get all warm and you feel like everybody's staring at you. Yeah, been there, done that. It's great being on this side of the pulpit. But you know what? Every message you hear is something I preach to myself first. I mean, this message on faith is just smacking me upside the head. I mean, it's just, I'm learning and growing. You know, Nasa talked about, you know, just surviving by faith. And we say that almost like it's a bad thing, but what an awesome thing.
Yeah.
To know that you're just trusting in God 100%. God, show up. If you avoid people in your lives who don't have, look, and they did it in the Bible too. Read the book of Philippians. I believe it's chapter 3 or chapter 4 where Paul, the Bible says, withstood Peter to the face. Paul got, in today's language, Paul got all up in Peter's grill because Peter was being prejudiced. He was hanging out with all the Jews, with all the Gentiles until some of the big name Jews from Jerusalem showed up and then he backed off and avoided them. And Paul saw that, got right in his face. Thank God for people who love us enough to confront us when we are wrong with the truth of the Word of God. Thank God for parents that love their children enough. I can't stand it. Whatever. Well, you know, I love my children too much to spank them. No, you don't love them. Thank God, God loves us enough to chasten us, Hebrews teaches us. And it's necessary to be reproved at times in life in order to find the right direction. Faith in God's Word will give us the right direction through life by giving us proper reproof. By the way, that's a major role of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is that convicting presence in our lives. Don't do that. Don't do that. But he's also going to reprove the world of sin. In John 16, nevertheless, I tell you, the truth is expedient for you that I go away, Jesus talking, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I'm thankful that the Spirit of truth, working in concert with the Word of truth, helps us build lives of truth. Thirdly, God's Word tells us how to be right. God's Word tells us not just what is right and what is wrong, but it tells us how to be right. Again, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and then it says for correction. The word of God is profitable to me as a Christian for correction. It tells us how to be right. And this is where God's word, if followed by faith, will lead us and guide us into a righteous life. I believe it's the desire of every Christian to be as holy as they can be. I believe it ought to be the desire of every Christian to be as righteous as we can be. Not a Pharisee, not I'm better than you, but I'm talking about to be like Christ. Righteousness. In Philippians 3:9, the Bible says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Following the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God will lead you toward principles of living right. In other words, if I'm living wrongly, not my beliefs, but if my lifestyle, if I'm doing things that are wrong, and I want to learn how to do what is right, I get in the Word of God, and it tells me that God's Word is profitable to me for correction. What's correct? It corrects me. When I'm doing something wrong, the Word of God gives me the correction that I need, or the correct way of doing things, so I don't do those things anymore. Think maybe of some of the things you used to do before you got saved. This popped into my head here. I think Alex. When Alex first got saved and was coming to church, and he'd come to church, he'd have his hair back in his little ponytail, and he'd have his ball cap on, and that's how he'd come to church. And I'm so thankful that nobody in the church ripped his head off for doing it. Because there are a lot of churches that would have stopped them at the door and said, you're not welcome here, take your hat off, go get a haircut. Now churches that do that. But I'm so thankful that our church loved him. And nobody said anything, and it was like 2 years later.
A year and a half,
I get a Facebook private message from Alex. I can't believe I used to wear a hat and sit in church with my ponytail. Thank you for not ripping my head off and just, you know. And it was actually apologizing to it. Some of the things that we used to do, that we used to think were acceptable. We lead someone to the Lord. I don't know if you ever did this, but I would do this. I saved so-and-so. That's what we used to say. I saved this guy in my neighborhood. His name's Chris. I saved him. And we use terminology that, you know, we're just learning. People don't understand certain things and, Pastor, I don't drink alcohol, but I just drink wine with a meal because Jesus turned the water into wine. And those kinds of things. And now look, when we get in the Word of God, you know, and somebody shows us what the Bible says, and we see it there with our own eyes, it may make us uncomfortable, but you know what, for us to have the opportunity to respond by faith to what it corrects us. And so following the faith of Jesus Christ, in other words, I'm reading about how Jesus lived and what he did, and I'm following the Word of God, I'm going to develop in my life principles towards doing what's right. There are things that we may not have even thought were ever wrong. I think of when Betty first started coming to church, and how upset she would be because people were amen while I was preaching. And she thought, how rude. Why are they yelling while he's up there trying to talk to us?
It wasn't the amen, it was the feed the sheep.
I get more comments from visitors about Glenn yelling feed the sheep. I put something on Facebook the other day and Raymer put feed the sheep, brother. And that's nothing. Go to a camp meeting and you'll hear things you never heard of. Saddle that horse and ride it, preacher. Shake the bush or shake that bush. Park there a while. Preach up my nose hole. I mean, I've heard so many things. I have a friend of mine who pastors out in Chicago, Tom Brennan. I knew him since he was in high school. And when he was in high school, his thing was, if the preacher was getting good, he'd go, sound doctrine. That was his thing. And so I didn't know that we were at Hiles at the same time at college. And, you know, here I am, a sophomore, junior, and he was a year or so ahead of me. And I saw him, and the preacher was getting going, and I went, "Sound doctrine!" And he turned around. And I saw that verse and said, "Did you hear me?" He goes, "Oh, please don't remind me, I used to say that. That's so embarrassing." People just do, yeah. I've seen people in fundamental Baptist churches, when the invitation starts, they'll come out of their pew, they'll kneel down, they'll get up, they'll walk to the front, they'll look at me, they're due, you know, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, where's my cigarettes? They'll come down to the front. And the whole time I'm looking at them like, we don't do that around here. They just don't know. And so, you know, just so many, you know, thank God for a Bible that corrects us.
Amen.
I tell you a hilarious story about my stepfather growing up. My mom probably wouldn't want to listen to this. She's in the nursery. He smoked cigarettes after he got saved. And just, you know, at Victory over other things, but that one he was struggling with. And well, the pastor came by the house to visit us. And so he took his cigarettes and he stuck them under the couch. And so he's talking with the preacher and everything. Well, my little brother, Christian, was only like 5 or 6 at the time. He watched my father do that. And so, you know, they're sitting there and they're talking, and my brother goes over to the couch, pulls him out, and goes, "Here, Daddy, you forgot you put these under the couch before the pastor came." Just, you know, it's just so many fun things and so many, but you know what? Thank God for a word of God that corrects us.
Amen.
And then lastly, God's word tells us how to stay right. It's one thing just to learn how to do right and how to live right, but you know what? I've seen so many folks over the years, they don't stay the course. I mean, some of you folks that have been here for more than 5 or 6 years, imagine if everybody that came here stayed here.
Yeah.
We wouldn't fit them all in. And a lot of them, doing right is the furthest thing from their mind. God's word tells us how to stir, and it tells us there at the end of verse 16, it says, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Noah was saved. All of his family was saved. For this reason, because he heard, because he believed, and because he obeyed God's word. So if we want our faith to grow, it's not just hearing, but it's believing it. More than anything, it's obeying it. Noah could have said, "God, I believe you, it's going to rain." And God said, "Build an ark and you'll be safe. I believe you, God." But if he never built an ark, he'd have perished. And a lot of us need to understand that when we lean on God and we trust the word of God, it offers us that protection when we're obedient to it for the long haul. I don't have, you know, was that Papa Rossi's eating? Matter of fact, Brian, you were with me. And a gentleman came in. Yeah, I think Diane, you had just left. And this man comes in, he's sitting down, and we're talking about putting the sign back in the ground. And the man thought we were, you know, "Are you guys in the construction business?" And so we got to talk in. He works for an insurance agency, and he's talking all the financial stuff. He goes, "You know, do you have a," and he started going through all this stuff, and I'm like, no. And he goes, "Well, what about your retirement?" I said, "Man, I'm a preacher. I'm not retiring until I get to heaven." I said, "I'm staying on this thing for the long haul. Preachers don't retire. That's those who make the ministry a vocation." And we got talking, and it was just funny because he's like, I bet you, and Brian will back, "I bet you I can get $90,000 a year out of your people on top of what they're already giving." And I thought, "Oh no, you can." Believe me, I'd squeeze that turnip if I could.
No. Drop that sucker off.
Yeah, you just want to see if it works. Hey, you know what? Come on in here. I want to see how it works. But it, you know, these ideas. I don't want to be a has-been as a preacher. I don't want to walk away from what God has done for me and how God has blessed me. Preachers today are falling like flies. 4,000 churches are closing their doors every year. That's 4,000 too many. But you know, not only are preachers closing their, our church closing their doors, but you know, a lot of church people get tired of it. And don't want to serve anymore and want to be lazy and want to be just, you know, I just want to come and sit on a pew. You know what? If we're going to live by faith, we're going to be in that word because the word is going to give us the instruction in righteousness so that I don't just make a correct choice, but I have the instructions on how never to veer from that choice. Folks, let's strengthen our walk with God. Let's get stable in our walk with God. I want to, a year from now, to see each and every person that's here, just to see them grow in their spiritual life. I want you to be able to look back and say, you know what, God, when I decided that I was going to start living by faith and trusting God, God did something to me. And I just got in the book. I can't challenge you. Get in the book. Just get in the book. I've used the quote by D.L. Moody because D.L. Moody said, I prayed for God to give me faith and I never got faith. But I decided to start reading the Word of God and my faith grew exponentially. This book is the answer. Get in the book. Read the book. That's where your faith will grow. You'll find yourself learning. Think about your own life today. Is it protected by God? Are you living by His Word? What do you need to do? You need to determine today to sow the seeds of truth in your life through obedience and allow the Lord of the harvest to cultivate those precious, peaceable fruits of righteousness in your life. You sow this in, you're going to reap the blessings and the benefits of it out. You keep sowing other junk in, you're just going to keep reaping junk out. But you go ahead and get the word and just sow its truth into you. Just get it in you. Get it in you. I don't understand what I'm reading. Just read it. Just keep reading it. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Digest it. Get it in you. Get it in you. Keep reading it. I don't understand all these words and what's going on. Just keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Get it in, get it in, get it in. You're going to find after a period of time, there's going to be some changes in your lifestyle that you may not even be aware of. That just God is just solidifying in your life by just simply reading this book. If you want to grow in faith, that's how it happens. And in doing that, you're going to find great protection. Why? Because God's word warns us of unseen dangers. I will avoid a lot of pitfalls because I'm in this book and it strengthened my faith. And God's word protects us with useful direction. I'm thankful for useful directions. I'm thankful for being able to put things together. Because there's directions. Many times I put something together, I put it together wrong because I didn't use the directions. And then you gotta undo the whole thing and it's a waste of time and your frustration level and your blood pressure and everything else. You just follow the directions. You would avoid so much heartache. Just follow the directions. And you don't have to be able to understand them all, just follow them. You don't have to be able to explain them all and sit down and, you know, and explain the Pentateuch and the Synoptic Gospels and dispensations. Yeah, no. Just read it. Just read it. Some of you young adults, just get in the book. You want to know why some of these older folks are faithful and consistent and so many areas of their life are so disciplined and regimented? It's not just because they're older people and it's just the way they are. There's older people that are an absolute mess in their lives. It has nothing to do with their age. It has to do with, you know what? God said it. That settles it. That's all.
Amen.
God said it. That settles it. I'm just going to do what God says.
Amen.
And avoid all the white noise and all the static. Just do what God says. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed. And our eyes closed. You want protection in your life? You want to avoid unseen dangers? You want to apply useful directions? You want your faith just to grow tremendously? By faith, Noah. Let's put your name in there. By faith, insert your name. God told you to do something. You did it. No ifs, ands, or ors. When God's word tells you to do something, beloved, just do it. Just obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I wonder today if there's some folks here tonight that would say, preacher, I want my faith to be so strong where it's protecting me from unseen dangers and where it's providing the direction that I need in my life. Is there anybody tonight that would say, preacher, would you pray for me? That's the kind of faith that I want. Would you lift your hand up and then just put it back down? Amen. All over. That's what we all want. You may put your hands down. We all want it. But you know, it's not going to happen by you just sitting in a pew. It's going to happen by you waking up tomorrow and getting in your Bible. And on Tuesday, getting in your Bible. You talk to any of these, any man or woman in your life that you look at as a great godly example, and they're going to tell you the Word of God is what put me in the direction that I needed to be in. That's what it comes down to. God, and I've said this so many times, God, give us people of the book. They keep you from a whole lot of trouble. Piano begins to play. What's dealing with your heart tonight?